This is Phil Ferrand, and I am not driving home. Where I'm actually sitting in the little alcove area on the way to the lounge at a travel lodge in Los Angeles. I figured this was a spot that I could do some recording because the lounge is not open at 6:41. All the people have finally gone home and they're sleeping off whatever they got in the lounge. Anyways, it's been a good week. This is going to be a short podcast, really just a placeholder. We will get back on track next week with our podcast talking about real things. Last week was kind of scatterbrained too because there had been so many things that happened last week. This week was much more relaxed. Yay, we were on vacation this week, so it's been a good week. We flew out of Springfield on Friday. We got into LA Friday night. We immediately went over to see some friends. My godson and a bunch of his friends, and it was just a lovely evening. I mean, it was just good food, good friends. We just chatted about this, that, and the other. It was really, really wonderful. Got a chance to finally meet in person a friend whom I've been chatting with and corresponding with here and there, Dolo, and it was lovely to meet her. She had read Still Whispers and enjoyed it, and so it was lovely to meet her and chat with her a little bit, her and her husband and her two kids. And then Charles lives with a couple with a child, and so we got a chance to meet them, and it was good. It was a great evening. And then on Saturday, what did we do Saturday? Oh, we just kind of just kicked back on Saturday. I got together with Charles again, and we had some breakfast, and he took me around to the Hollywood hotspots there, you know, the sights to see, all the stars, when Ned just kind of crashed in the room for the whole day. And then on Sunday, we drove up to Bakersfield. That was fun. Saw my nephew and his wife and daughter and youngest child that we had not seen yet, and then drove up to Morro Bay from there. Beautiful, beautiful spot in Morro Bay. Saw my brother's new coffee shop up there and talked to his wife, and really had a lovely time with them for a couple of days. And then we drove back, and then I took Lynette to the IKEA store in Burbank. I think it's one of the largest in North America. She had never been to IKEA before. And so we kicked around in the IKEA store, and one of the high spots there was that they have rooms set up that are certain numbers of square feet, and so I really wanted her to see those to kind of get a picture in her mind what those sizes look like, because at some point here in the next 7 or 8 years or so, we're going to be downsizing. And one of the funny things that happened there is there was another couple that was in there looking at one of the rooms we were looking at, and we got to chatting with them. Turns out they had just recently moved to Morro Bay and had downsized. And it's interesting because I kind of ramped into my little speech about how we have a little rock house and we're going to expand it some, and we're looking at the size, and my wife started talking about how that, yeah, he's expecting me to go from 4,200 square feet to downsize. And both of the couples went, oh yeah, it's so great. They said, we went from 33 something or other down to 1,000, and it's so wonderful. It's so much less to clean. You can do it. You'll enjoy it. And as we walked off, my wife said, well, I was going to start complaining about the size, but they kind of cut that out. So anyways, it was good. And then I just found a little cubby to sit down with my computer, and Lynette shopped around in IKEA for a while. And then on yesterday, we ran to Disneyland, went to the California Adventure for a few hours, and that was fun. We rode some rides and looked around. And so then we came here to the Travelodge last night. We're flying out this morning. We're going to the Renaissance Fair tomorrow in Kansas City, and then I think we'll be back home on Sunday. So it's been a really good week. lot of waiting in lines. Excuse me. My wife and I have just been ready to go home to Springfield because the traffic, the traffic in LA is just unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable for me because I grew up in the Philippines in Manila, but anytime you have to touch LA and get anywhere, it just turns into a parking lot. But we've made it through, and then we went through all of that, and then we ended up at Disneyland, and it was supposed to be a light day at Disneyland because it was Thursday, and we don't quite know our way around and all the tricks and stuff, and so we actually got on a ride. Well, we got in line for a ride at Radiator Springs because the little thing said, you know, 35-minute wait. We're like, okay, we can do a 35-minute wait. We get in this line, and they're letting in so many FastPass people that the wait just gets longer and longer and longer and longer. I think we ended up waiting 75 minutes for that ride. But then we went straight out of that and went into the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, and we did have a fast pass for that, so we were, you know, right to the front of the line there. And so, yes, lots of waiting, but that's okay. You know, it builds patience, so it's fine. I didn't really know what I was even going to talk about today because, frankly, my brain's on vacation. I've barely done any writing this week, which is highly unusual for me. I did prep and get ready for the next book, book 8. It is the final book in the first octet. Woohoo! So I'm going to have to start getting clever and figure out what happens in this book. I think I've got 2 beta readers left to go on book 7, and the books are delivered. They are waiting for me at home. So my job on Sunday is going to be to get them all bundled up and packaged up and ready to go. And so that's all good and fine and well. I was going to say something about that. I don't know. Anyways. So we're getting ready to launch into book 8, so that's good. I'm gonna have to get my brain turned back on for writing because I've just kind of taken a little break from it here, but it'll all happen. It'll be good. I didn't know, since my brain has been on vacation, I didn't really know what in the world am I gonna talk about today. And then my daughter sent me a text message at like our time here, 6:30, 8:30 her time, from that had a link to the Babylon Bee article. I don't know if you're familiar with Babylon Bee, but it does all this satire stuff. You know, like one article they did, I remember that, I was trying to remember the exact headline. I'm not going to get it, but it was something about music minister displays deep magic of reading notes, you know, and branded a heretic or something. They do all this stuff that, you know, kind of points out the silliness in some of our church worlds, and a lot of their stuff is really cute and funny. And so she sends me this Babylon Bee article. And let me see if I can find it, because it was one of those things that when you see the headline in the article, oh, did this just pause? Hold on. Let me see if this paused. No, it didn't. Yay! Okay, so we're good. When you see the article, you look at it and you try to figure out for a moment, okay, is this a joke? Is this are they serious? But then you realize, no, it really is serious. And what an interesting world we live in, because the name of the Babylon Bee article is "Nation That Claims to Value Women Celebrates the Life of Hugh Hefner." So said, according to reports around the nation, Americans who think of themselves as progressive and forward-thinking in their support for women's rights and the dignity of females everywhere were celebrating the life of Hugh Hefner for some reason after his death at the ripe old age of 91. And so, RIP Hugh Hefner, one man wrote whose online profile described him as a feminist, activist, and social justice warrior. Thanks for supporting the liberation of women. Okay, newspapers and other media outlets across the country released touching memoirs, etc., etc., of a mogul who made his fortune parading nude women in public places like meat dangled in front of wild animals, heralding him as a progress-oriented leader of a sexual revolution. These very same news organizations like to think of themselves as modern to progressive, sources confirmed, despite Hugh Hefner's empire being built upon women being reduced to nothing more than objects meant for the sexual gratification of men. Yeah, so there you go. Okay, so, you know, they're memorializing a man who made millions of dollars pioneering the mainstream objectification of women across the nation as he continually slept with hordes of women who were young enough to be his great-granddaughters and relentlessly perpetuated the notion that all women should be impossibly proportioned and absolutely gorgeous. You know, this kind of doublethink is really fascinating to me. Now, the truth of the matter is that Hugh Hefner did, in his lifetime, do a lot of things to be first in many regards with regards to race and gender, and he absolutely did have women on his staff. He absolutely did open the doors. He had a television show, Hefner's Penthouse or something. I watched a biop on his life. And he would invite African-American performers like Sammy Davis Jr. to come in, and Miles Davis, I think, and also Nat King Cole to come in and perform. And you saw on American television for the first time, you know, African-Americans and Caucasians mixing freely together. And he was a pioneer in a lot of that. There's no question about that. But there's this disconnect where you have him, yes, valuing women, but then by the same token, really setting women up as nothing more than objects for his gratification. And in terms of his own personal life, there was no question that, you know, he wasn't that good of a father, he wasn't faithful to his wife, he wasn't, because when it came to his own desires and what he wanted, then he was just more than happy to be as selfish as he wanted, and to paint himself as this person who just got what he wanted when he wanted it, and he could just have anything he wanted because he was powerful, and so he was more than happy to let women throw themselves at him, knowing that they just wanted to be around his money and his power, and he could do things for them, and so he was more than happy to trade that for sex. And you know, that's an interesting thing in there, and it is really fascinating that society would champion this man who was egotistical and selfish and frankly misogynistic, who would, on one hand, champion the rights of people, champion the rights of women, champion the rights of minorities, and yet, on the other hand, then in his own personal life, would very much treat women as objects. You know, there's a problem with consistency there. But that's the kind of odd society that we live in. You know, we live in an image-based society. And some would say, well, what he did was actually empowered women, that giving them the opportunity to be sexual then empowers them. But really, it comes back to for me, I was having a conversation with one of my buddies on Monday over Skype, and we were talking again about this idea of somatic cells and germ cells and the phrase, I am soma. You know, if you are going to live according to just your reproductive urges, then you are going to end up being very egotistical. You are going to end up being self-centered, because all of those reproductive urges really come down to me surviving, me propagating, me having what I want when I want it. It's all about me and my existence, my continued existence, and the existence of my line, the existence of my progeny, because that's the way the germ lifestyle lives. That doesn't mean that I can't be kind and generous to other people. That doesn't mean that I can't do things that are right, because Hugh Hefner was promoting some tremendous rights and freedoms and opportunities for minority races before, you know, even the Church of Jesus Christ was promoting those things in America, because they were stuck in their own germ problems with thinking that we have to keep everything isolated and we have to keep everything protected. And that in itself can be folded back into worrying about germ, because, you know, one of the big things that people worried about with the mixing of the races was, well, you know, the white line will be diluted there because all it takes is one drop of black blood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just amazing when you really start looking at things, how many attitudes, how many problems are mixed in, have all these flavor and tones that are mixed in from just this idea of the propagation of the species, from this idea of the propagation of my line, from this idea of I must survive so that I will have more time to spread my seed. And if you step back from all of those things and decide that the vast, vast majority of the cells in your body are actually specialized somatic cells, and they have this tremendous value, and they are the things that are the inventiveness and the creativity and the industry and the builders and the workers, those are all the cells that allow us to do all these things. And if we would focus on the fact that we are soma, that we could accomplish such tremendous things and begin to set aside these attitudes that creep in, that are influenced by being germ. And in Hugh Hefner, what we have is somebody who just absolutely drove himself to be germ, to surround himself with everything that he wanted to carry out these rituals of reproduction, to ensure that he could spread his seed. And so in the end, you get these weird dichotomies of where you do have a man who looked beyond, who saw humans for humans in many cases, and then at the same time, with just as much fervor, saw humans as nothing more than objects for his pleasure that he could exploit in any way that he wanted to. And it makes that weird dichotomy. So for me, I am soma. And let me see how long I've been chatting now, because I've just been rambling. One moment. Sorry this isn't more put together. My brain is still on vacation. Anyways, I've got 25 seconds before I get done, so I'll just wrap this up. Anyway, it was a lovely week. It was a lovely, lovely week. God rest Hugh Hefner, wherever he is. Although I suspect that Jesus came to him in the final moments of his life and welcomed him home. I know some people would be upset to think about that, but, you know, we are all hidden deep within the bosom of grace. And I am one who believes that God went so far to reach us by sending Jesus that I think he could go just a little bit farther to reach down to Hugh Hefner in the final moments of his life and to say, hey, this is what's ahead of you. Do you want to come home with me? This is Phil Ferrand, and I have not made it home. I am sitting in the parking lot of a travel lodge by LAX Airport, but I hope to make it home on Sunday. Have a great week. Bye.